Morning. And this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Right now, we just need to check all of our baggage, all of our concerns, our busy schedules, even what we're going to do after church. Put that all at the door and just know that we're in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. We're gathered together on sacred and holy ground. So expect something to happen and invite the Holy Spirit into your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks for today. We pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and anoint us. We pray, Lord God, that what we do here is pleasing unto you and life-changing to all of us. Open up our hearts and minds to receive the word that you have for us today. Mold us and shape us into the new creatures in Christ that you would have us be. Fill us all with love for one another, and especially with love for you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Oh. Well, welcome everyone and visitors. We have a special visitor who does not want to be recognized, but she's sitting on the left side, on this side of the church, and she has on a blue jacket. And we miss her in the choir. Of course, we miss the whole choir now, but anyway, glad to have you back visiting. And if there are any other visitors, raise your hand if you're visiting. Cut it out. You just want the goodies. Okay. Keep your hand up. Any visitors? No visitors? Well, let's get busy and bring some visitors so we can give this stuff away. Okay? Next week. Do we do the memory verse now? Let's do, at the top of your bulletin, there is a memory verse for July. I wonder if anybody has memorized it. Anybody memorized it yet? Yet? It's only been 4 weeks. This is week 5. It's your last chance. Let's read it together 2 times. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Again, 1 John 3:18. Don't look. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Okay. And if there's somebody here who's usually here but not here today, give them a ring and see if they're okay. Invite them back or bring a visitor and get a goodie bag or whatever. Okay, let's see. There are some announcements in the bulletin. Please check them out. Remember the church picnic. We need you to sign up for that so there's enough food for everybody. And please make note of the visitation team invitation. And there's more about the new bishop. And oh, there's no youth group tonight. If there are any youth here or you know any youth who might come. Okay. Beware of the heat. It'll get you if you don't watch out. And if you don't have a name tag, we'll make you one. I couldn't find mine, but I wore mine from conference. More about that in a minute. Anything else? We're going to continue wearing them through August because we're still in a transition time. And, with some older folks, it takes a while to remember things. And not that anyone's old here or anything, but, just some of you, I know your face, but sometimes I forget your name, too. So it's good to, it's good to have a name tag. Okay. Any other announcements from out there? Okay, I had a request, and he's not here to hear it, so please tell him I told you about conference. Let's see. Pull my notes out. When you go to conference, you get a nice little book. Well, a nice thick book. This is all the stuff that goes on. It's, day to day, it tells you what. I mean, you get a new section every day. Whoops. And but it's good. You can kind of follow along with what's happening because there's so much going on, and it's a huge room. If you've ever been to Grove City, it's in their gym, and it just goes on and on and on. And we have to have numbers to find out our seats because it just goes on and on and on. I don't know how many sections there were, but there were a lot. This is the name tag that they give you. If you don't have it on, you don't get in. You have to sit in the peanut gallery. And so this becomes a part of your body. Mine says laity because I'm not clergy. But his would say clergy. And his kids would say clergy. Okay, the theme for conference was the road to discipleship, new places, new people, new opportunities. And I don't know if you can see this. There's a cross, but it looks like two crossroads, which I thought was really clever. Okay, there were five areas of focus: developing principled Christian leaders for the church and the world, creating new places for people by starting new congregations and renewing existing ones, engaging in ministry with the poor, stamping out killer diseases by improving global health, and dismantling racism. And one of the bishop's big things you remember was Imagine No Malaria. And that was his big push for that, which went very well. I believe he reached his goal, didn't he? I think, yeah. So, Penny, would you please turn on his mic so he can correct me when I'm wrong or fill in the blanks? Okay. The bishop gave a good message on justice, love, and kindness, and he prayed for guidance for the church. This was his last meeting with our conference. There were some other clergy retiring, too. One of them was Dave Zona. Some of you might remember Dave. Can't believe he's old enough to retire. He was just a little kid last time I saw him. They presented the names of pastors who had passed away, and Virgil Mayberry was one of them. Some of you may remember him too. There was legislation, and there was also a talk by Bishop Bashore. Some of you might remember that name. He was bishop two bishops ago, I believe. Let's see. And then the youth, they always do something exciting, like balloons or noisy things or whatever. So they did their presentation, and they had a Golden Sneakers Award, which the pastor's son Justin got for he walked 500 steps.
Yeah, between him and Scott Gallagher walked 500 miles around the conference.
Wow. I think Reverend Meekins did that one year, a couple years ago maybe. Okay, so the bishop gave a talk right at the end after after the ordination, and he took off his robe and his cross and his stole, put them on a hanger, and rolled up his sleeves and told us to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the conference. So it was a very enjoyable time. There was legislation, most of which went over my head, and I had to have some coaching to know what to vote for. You had a red sheet for no and a green sheet for yes. So that was the business end of it, which is not the most fun part. To me, the most fun part was looking up the pastors that I've known in the past and getting reacquainted and find out where they were going, if they were going, and if they were still around. So if you have any questions about conference, there's a great website, the United Methodist Church, Western Pennsylvania United Methodist Church, and they have a lot more specifics on some of the things that went on. So you're welcome to check that out. If you have any questions for me, I'll probably refer you to the website, but I'll be glad to answer if I can. Let's continue with worship. Stand and join me in the call to worship. Print it in your bulletin. Psalm number 1. Blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord,
and on God's law.
They are like trees planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither.
In all that they do, they will prosper.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away.
Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Let's join in our unison prayer. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In your black book, hymn of praise number 2270.
Good morning. How are you? So what do you think? Give me five. Give me five. Oh, yes. Okay, who loves us? Jesus. Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. Tell your friends that too. Jesus loves them. Oh yeah, bunches. God loves us so much. He's got so many things for us. Treasures. Every life, every day in life is like a treasure hunt. God has good things for us. And I have here a treasure map. But we're going to need a little bit of help with this treasure map. I need a volunteer. Who? There we go. Okay, I'll explain. First off, give me five. Yes. Okay. Here is the treasure map. Now, these things here are doorways. See the doorways? Go down, that's a doorway. Cross doorway, and then you come up. Okay. All right, so take these two fine young Christians and go look for treasure.
Y'all ready? All right, let's go. First, we're going to go this way.
Yes, they're looking for treasures, something we should all do. You'll find a treasure at the end, and they each get one when you get there. So when you get to the treasure at the very end, you'll know. Okay. Yeah, my artistic abilities leave something to be desired. Like by now, they should have come out that door. Okay.
We're going to go down here.
Every day is a treasure hunt for us. God has given us blessings all throughout our lives, through our experiences. Sometimes those blessings come in the form of something very rough, very hard, something we call trial and tribulation. But even in the midst of that trial and tribulation, there's beauty to be found because God is always there. You know, a diamond, you know, when it begins, it's just a lump of coal. But after a lot of pressure and a lot of work, it becomes something priceless and beautiful. So every life is a, I'm telling you, it's just a treasure hunt every day. And we just need to learn to stop and smell the roses along the way. They're getting close now. So they each get one.
We have found the Holy Bible, the greatest treasure. There are these little silver coins. One spot says, America, land of the free, only as love as it remains the home of the brave. On the other side is John 3:16.
Yes, thank you.
However, sure we're all looking for candy.
That's over here. Yes, you do. And they don't all say the thing about America. Some of them are different. Yes. You surprised me when you read that one and it said about America. Read one of the other ones.
One says, where will you spend eternity? John 3:36. The other side is, dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ, your Son, died on the cross for my sins, was buried for 3 days, and rose again. Thank you for giving me eternal life through him.
Yeah, that's what that says too.
Only two kind?
Or? Yeah, just the two. Come on over here, guys. Life is always a treasure hunt. Every day, look for the goodness of God in your life, okay? Because God has really blessed us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Help us to stop and smell the roses. Help us to share those blessings with others. For this we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Okay.
Good morning. The tune which I'm going to sing has gotten a lot of play in recent years. However, it was actually written over 30 years ago by Leonard Cohen. It's a secular song which has been made popular recently by TV shows. So, with apologies to Mr. Cohen, I've rewritten the verses. The chorus remains the same, and I invite you all to sing along as the Spirit leads. You only need one word. It's hallelujah. There was no earth or sky or sea, yet God above still thought of me. His love was there before all else, it's true. He formed the world, the beasts and men. He held them in his holy hand, and all creation cried out, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. But mankind thought that it knew best and put the master to the test. He tried to woo his people to him. He kept them safe and blessed their lives, yet they forsook and hid their eyes. Their hardened hearts sang no hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Our scripture reading today is from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm reading from the New English Translation. My child, if you receive my words and store up my commandments within you by making your ear attentive to wisdom and by turning your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for discernment, raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand how to fear the Lord, and you will discover knowledge about God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up effective counsel for the upright, and is like a shield for those who live with integrity, to guard the paths of the righteous and to protect the way of his precious ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity every good way, and moral knowledge will be attractive to you. At this time, the ushers will come forward for God's tithes and our offerings. God of wisdom, we are grateful that your Son Jesus calls even us his friend. He warns us to watch out for all kinds of greed. We struggle to remember that true life does not come from an abundance of possessions. Turn us away from seeking our own gain and mindlessly increasing our possessions. Empower us by your Spirit to be more generous toward you. Use these offerings to fulfill your purposes. We pray through Christ our Savior and friend. Amen.
Thank you.
Now you look like a joyful bunch of people.
What joys do you have to share to give God the glory? Family and reunions. All right. Before Bonnie says it, I'll say it. Grandchildren. Music.
Fulfilling job.
What?
Fulfilling job.
Ah, fulfilling job. Yeah. Comfortable bed to sleep in. Roof over our heads.
Rain.
Food on our tables. Food on our tables. Neighbors. Our health, such that it is. Our health. And the promises of God, that even though we go through trials and tribulations, He makes everything work out for our good. So our response will be, for all these joys we say, praise the Lord. Now, pens, pencils, write down on a scrap of paper, an envelope, or a bulletin. It's our prayer homework for this week. We have Megan, who is having hand surgery tomorrow. Other concerns? God is greater than any problem that we have or anybody else has. Connie's father passed away. Delmar, was it Glenn? Glenn, he went by Glenn, I think. So can remember Connie and her family in your prayers. And Louise is getting moved. Well, she is in rehab now over in Latrobe. So remember Louise in your prayers. And Dennis, keep Dennis in your prayers. Okay, the Bean family. And for Patty. You know, when God says, it says in the scriptures, it is written, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. It doesn't say cast the big cares on Him. Don't just cast the cares of other people on Him, but cast all your cares, little, big, in between, on Him. Because He cares for you. Because He loves you. Anybody else have a prayer concern for yourself or for someone else? We want to remember our country, our church. All those who are traveling. The Olympians. Yeah, her sister had been blind for years and then had a terrible pain in her head and woke up the next morning able to see. That's pretty cool. Praise the Lord. We need flowers for the altar. Anybody would be willing to provide for the flowers for the altar for the next 2 weeks? Take next week or the week after. Who do they call the office, or really contact the office? And so, if you have an unspoken request for God, just raise your hand. God sees that hand and knows the details. And for all these concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. The altar rail is always open. Every service, all service long. You are always more than welcome to come down to the altar rail. And at the altar rail, if you would like me to come down and have prayer with you, you raise your hand. If you need prayer for you or someone else, grab me after service. On your way out, say, I'd like to have special prayer for somebody or for myself. I'd be more than happy to do that. Anytime, anywhere. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we give You thanks for all the blessings that You bestowed upon us. Forgive us, Lord, when we take our blessings for granted. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't use those blessings the way You intended us to use them, in order to be a blessing to others, so that they too could come to know the love of Christ. And Lord God, we believe, help our unbelief, for we bring to You our concerns here today. and we lift them up into the light and love of your presence. So we pray for Megan, Connie and her family, for Louise and Dennis, for the Beam family, for Patty, for our country and our country's leaders, for our church, for the ministry here, Lord. We pray for your children of Israel and your clergy all over the world, for all those who are traveling. We pray for the Olympians. We pray, O Lord God, for the poor, the sick, the afflicted, the destitute, and the lonely. We pray for the first responders, men and women in the military. We pray for our children, Lord. We pray for those who come from broken homes. We pray for our families and those who are married, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who are addicted. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and do a mighty work. We believe in you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, it is written. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed, it is written. Again, God, we believe. Help our unbelief. And we will always be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Oh, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Yes, I forgot that in the first service. Thank you. Let us hear this word of the Lord. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. You know, I used to wonder about the Bible. I had mentioned that before in my testimony that I thought maybe the Bible had been written by men in order to bring about some peace to the world. Did you ever wonder how the books got into here that are in here? The process was called canonization. Now, the Old Testament was easy. The Old Testament had been read by the Jewish people for centuries in the temple. The Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, also known as the Law or the Torah, and the other writings were read daily in the temple. So it's the Hebrew part of the Bible, the Old Testament. Then we have the New Testament part, written in Greek. And those books, well, they
it took a longer process for those to be decided on. In the 3rd century after Jesus, Irenaeus, the bishop of Alexandria, he put together a list of sacred writings that he felt were very important and should be kept together. That list of sacred writings is what we call today the New Testament. But of course, that wasn't accepted all over at that time. But Irenaeus believed that these books were very important. And there were a few that weren't in there at that time. They added them later. By the 5th century, after many meetings of the church all over the world, they would send representatives, they would get together, and they would discuss all the sacred writings that were available. They all agreed that the list that Irenaeus had put together, along with Romans and James, all should be in, and I think it was Philemon also, should be canonized, made into this book. Canon means standard, by which we measure everything else. It's a reed, a standard. And so those sacred writings by the 5th century were considered the Holy Bible, the Old, the Greek, and the Hebrew. What good is this book if you don't read it? None. We all have Bibles. I mean, if you don't have a Bible, for Pete's sake, let us know. Call the office. We'll get you a study Bible. Everybody should have a study Bible. Unfortunately, in some homes, these books are covered with dust. That's the only time they get moved is when somebody dusts them off. And yet, of all the books in the world, and there's some wonderful, wonderful books in the world, we have all the books in the world other than the Bible at our home. That's how many books you have right there. You also have the Bible. Sorry. Yes, you got them all. There's no book more important than this one. None. For 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed. All of it. Wasn't written by robots. It wasn't written by some mysterious hand, but it was written by men directed by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, talks about wrestling against spiritual forces of darkness and about putting on the armor of God. And then verses 16 and 17, it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And what do you do with a sword? You don't pick your teeth with it, but you defend yourself or you go on the attack. This is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's not just a nice book with some fancy stories in it. But this is the Word of the living God who created all things. It's His story. His story, history. But it's God's story from beginning to end. I need 2 volunteers. I need one big one. One big strapping volunteer with hair like mine, glasses, and a red shirt. David. Oh, that would be David. Yes. then I need one more. Just one. Okay. Oh, wait. Kelly?
Yes.
Anybody else got an itch to do this? Okay, come on down. Kelly, you just hold sit tight. You did me a favor today leading the kids around.
No problem.
Wasn't that a wonderful map, by the way? Wasn't that a great work of art?
You know what? I'm going to frame that.
Are you?
Yeah.
Kelly, get another piece of candy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Dave, would you stand over here, please? Okay, I want you to close your eyes, put your hands in your pocket. You and I are going to have a fight. Hey, would you stand over here, please?
Sure.
Right there, turn around there. Dawn. See how I knew your name? That's pretty cool, huh? Okay, Dawn, when I start to hit Dave, I want you to hit him from the back.
Okay.
I'm going to hit him from the front. He's got a lot of muscles. We're going to have to hit it really hard, okay? Dave, you keep your eyes closed the whole time. Keep your hands in your pocket, okay? Okay. This wouldn't be a very fair fight, would it? Even as big as you are, it wouldn't be a fair fight if you were to stand there with your hands in your pocket and your eyes closed, being attacked on one side and then on the other. But you know what? We go through life just like this. We're Dave. Because we're constantly getting beat up by the enemy. First by the weakness of the flesh and by the devil. We are under constant attack every day. And when we don't know the word of God, this is the position we're in. We are stuck with our hands in our pockets and our eyes closed while life beats the snot out of us. See, the devil knows the word of God. The devil believes in God and shudders. And we think things should be hunky-dory and perfect and you know, why do children suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? And it's just not fair. And you know how many times I hear people argue from a point of emotions and self-centeredness and they have no idea what the scriptures say. None. You can go sit down now, Dave. Thanks. Thank you, Don. But when we don't know the word of God, we constantly get beat up, or we see our family get beat up, or our friends get beat up. We see things going on in the news, and we talk about the world falling apart around us. We talk about our political leaders being woo-hoo-woo-hoo, and we got to know the word of God. Romans 13 says we're to pray for our government, to support our government. Man, we've got to take authority over the problems in this world. Because we've been given that authority in the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You, my God, will supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, when Jesus was attacked by the devil, he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. He had to deal with the weakness of the flesh, extremely hungry, weak, tired. And when the devil came against him, what was Jesus' first response? It is written. The devil came to attack him and he whipped out the sword of the Spirit. And he said, it is written. Devil said, come on, you fasted for all this time, you're weak, your flesh is weak, you're hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Do you know how good bread smells? And how about when you're hungry, how good it smells? Ooh. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus' response, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. But if we don't know it, we can't say that. We can't fight back. We can't protect ourselves. We can't protect our loved ones if we don't know the word of the living God. And this word is much more than just ink on papers. It is living and alive, and it will not return void unto God until it has accomplished that for which it has been sent out. Anybody here familiar with the Bethel Bible Studies series? Anybody? Couple? We had a few in the first service too. I'm a Bethel Bible teacher. Took the training, worked with a pastor for a year and studied the scriptures and learned how to do that. And then I spent another year teaching it to a group of people. And I always wore a big yellow button that said, "Think Hebrew." Because I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that want to argue about how this book is put together. They don't know that it's the Word of God. They kind of doubt that it is infallible and inerrant. They said there's a lot of mistakes in here. There's a lot of things wrong with it. You know, like a donkey turned around and talked to its owner. I mean, you know, and dead people got up out of the graves and other people were healed. You know, they must have really been sick to begin with. And somebody walks on water and makes a storm stop and a bunch of trees get together. And they elect a thorn tree to be their king. That's a story that's a reflection of Saul when they made Saul king. See, in the Western world, the problem was they wanted to argue about how it was written. Think Hebrew means to think about what is the message behind the Bible. What is it that God is trying to tell us? Be concerned with that and what God is telling you. And you'll find out that this Bible is truth. Infallible truth from beginning to end. I'm going to tell you what, I am staking my life on this Bible. And not just this life, but my life to come. It is written. This is the Word of God. Don't let anybody tell you different. We're without excuse. We've got seminaries, Bible colleges, Sunday school teachers, Bible studies. We have Right Now Media. You can sign up again for that online Bible study, doing it in the comfort of your home. We've got people who are willing to sit and talk with you about the Bible. We'll give you a Bible. We are without excuse. We should not be running around unarmed. Do you know what it says about not knowing the Bible in 2 Babylonians chapter 3, verse 17? Anybody know that? There isn't a second Babylonians. That's right. There's not a second Babylonians in the Bible. Not everybody knew that because they don't know what's in here. That's when you're unarmed. And I'm going to tell you what, it's not enough to come to church to know the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, and a couple of Beatitudes, because the devil's going to engage you in a fight. It says that the devil roams about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when he pounces on you, the king of the jungle, when he pounces on you, he knows the scriptures. If you whip out the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm and that's your best, well, that's like going to a sword fight and bringing a butter knife. You're in a lot of trouble. Here's the good news. The Holy Spirit, which we'll be preaching about in a couple weeks, but the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance everything that you have heard about Jesus, everything that you have read. See, because it tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the Word and he's the Word made flesh. This is the Word. Jesus is the fulfillment of this Word, the Word made flesh. And he dwelt among us full of beauty and grace. So the good news is that the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that's written in here. But you got to read it to be reminded about it. Daily bread. Now this is for September, October, November. Who wants one? We also have the upper room out there. I think the upper room, you have to pay for the upper room. I forget how much it is. 50 cents or something like that. How much is it?
It's a donation,
50 cents. It's a donation, 50 cents? Okay. And I got to tell you, best place to keep this book? It's in the bathroom. Yeah, because you'll read anything while you're sitting in the bathroom. I know. I read it all the time. Whatever's handy. Two more. I'm sorry. I am going to run out. You can get it online. Yeah, they'll send it to you. You can get a subscription going. They'll mail to you every 3 months. Oh, you can read it on the computer, too? Yeah, there's a lot of devotional materials available to us. And we have them here. We'll get more stuff in. You need a study Bible, a Sword of the Spirit study Bible. If you don't have one and you can't afford one, you let us know and we'll get it for you. We've got lots of Bibles. Your neighbors, your coworkers, if they don't have a Bible, get them one. Because the devil is going to trick you and fool you and attack you and beat you up one side and down the other. And if you don't know the Word of God, you've got your hands in your pocket and your eyes closed. Don't let it happen. Read the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. And when the devil comes a-calling, you just tell him, it is written. And then you quote some scripture. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand for our last song. Don't leave it up to somebody else. I mean, if Jesus had to say, it is written, to the devil when he was attacking him, we certainly do too. So come to Sunday school. Come to Bible studies. Don't have one you can attend? Start one. Read that devotional material. Call the office, give them your email address, get signed up for Right Now Media. We are without excuse. And you know what? The gates of hell should not prevail against the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you fill us all with a hunger for your holy word, with an overwhelming desire to seek your kingdom first in every area of our lives. Help us, God, to read your book of love from cover to cover, to share that word with others, and to stand on that word no matter what happens, good or bad. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.